This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It's 7.06 in the morning, Monday the 8th of March, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with development economist Dr. Haniza Khalid on what's driving up food prices around the world. Now, in conjunction with International Women's Day as well, we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you what's the most impactful way to reduce the gender inequality gap here in Malaysia. So do let us know what you think over at BFM Radio. But right now, we're taking a look at the markets.
The week ended green in the US after what was quite a volatile week and scared quite a bit of quite a few people. The Dow closed up 1.9%. The S&P 500 was up 2%, and the Nasdaq was up 1.6% at the end of the trading week. At the end of last week, over in Asia, though, it was a red day. But that these were all market closes before the green day over in the US. So the Nikkei 225 was down 0.2% at the end of last week. Shanghai Composite was down marginally, 0.04%. So I think we can call it flat at this juncture. Hang Seng was down 0.5%. Singapore was marginally down 0.03%. So we'll also call it flat. But the FBM KLCI bucked the trend, up 1.2% there. It will be interesting to see how they open this morning.
Yes, sir. So, but in the meantime, for more on international markets, we have with us on the line Stephen Innes, Chief Global Market Strategist at Axie. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, US equities staged a bit of a late recovery at the end of last week after quite the volatile week. What was fueling this volatility in the stock markets?
Well, there's a lot of interest rate volatility in the market. It's getting really driven by a market sudden repricing of the Fed curve closer. So in other words, interest rate traders are starting to put rate hikes into the 2023 area. And this is an area where the Feds have zero rate hikes plotted in. So obviously we're seeing quite a repricing on the Fed curve. And we're also seeing a fairly hefty repricing on the interest rate curve. That's also getting manifested by the fact that markets are continuing to build in inflation expectations simply because of the high level of stimulus that's coming to market. Of course, the big debate now that's going to unfold is whether the inflation remain transitory or whether it's going to, you know, remain here for a long time. Very difficult to tell right now, but the market's going to continue to debate that. And to me, putting the pieces of that puzzle together is likely going to envelope the most significant risks to the market in the second half of the year.
Do you agree with the market's assessment about its inflation expectations?
I wish I had a great answer for you. You know, it certainly one would assume we're going to get inflation. It's just the way things are going right now. Supply chains remain hobbled to a great degree, which is going to put pressure on you know, food prices and all sorts of other stuff. We're looking at oil prices surging. That's an inflationary input. But is this going to be enduring? Like, are we going to get this pent-up driven supply gap and then things normalize again? This is really the big question. Will things start to normalize in the supply chain? You know, there's lots of factor here. The one thing that's becoming probably more apparent is we're not going to get wage push inflation because jobs remain probably one of the slowest things to recover. And that's possibly a good thing, but I still view that as a bad thing. I'd rather see jobs pick up. My view here is jobs are going to pick up. So therefore, my view here is that we are going to hit inflation and the Feds are going to have to react in kind a lot quicker than the market has priced in. Not necessarily great for equity markets, but I also have the view that when you're raising interest rates from a low level and the economics support, I don't think it's that negative for stock markets, but we'll just have to wait and see to see how that argument unfolds.
Stephen, at what point do you think will we know whether this is just a transitory concern and more of a longer term implication?
Well, we won't have to wait too long because most inflation expectations are going to coalesce around the summertime. So we're looking between June and September. Probably if we start to see inflation continue to rise by the end of summer, that's probably a signal that we're going to, you know, we're hitting key spending periods going into the holiday season. And that would be an ominous sign. And that would probably shake a few trees. And perhaps cause some repricing in the Fed curve more into 2022. Again, if the data supports, if the data is absolutely, you know, just rocking, which I expect it to. I mean, look, we're going to have 1.9 trillion stimulus. The world's going to be vaccinated by that time. The U.S. will be in herd immunity. I mean, there's just so many positives that suggest to me that corporate earnings are going to continue to moving higher. Will the market just focus on corporate earnings? Are they going to still worried about interest rates? I guess that's up to the Feds, whether the Feds will continue to anchor those rates lower.
And of course, speaking of that $1.9 trillion stimulus package, Stephen, that finally got through the U.S. Senate yesterday. So what impact do you think this is going to have on financial markets, especially equities and bonds this week?
Well, it's, you know, the prospect here is a turbocharged recovery and U.S. consumer spending have just increased with the passage of this over the weekend. It's a colossal amount of stimulus. How much of that actually gets into the right hands is yet to be seen. That's the other factor. I have to look at the detail on how this gets rolled out. I mean, there's a ready back and forth talk right now that this is basically pork filled, getting a lot of Democrats old stuff put through, but we'll have to wait and see. Regardless, it's still a very, very huge social safety net, and I think this is going to be viewed fairly positively, at least initially, provided, fingers crossed, that inflation doesn't rear its ugly head too soon.
I just want to get your view about the oil markets now. Would the attacks and the possibility of further attacks at Saudi Aramco's facilities have a major impact on the markets?
Yeah, continuing to, because, you know, we're ready and tight oil. So any further disruption in that supply chain is going to definitely impact oil markets. And, you know, as you see, oil prices are shooting up today. Of course, that's, you know, a function of stronger data. It's a function of OPEC's tight oil supply mandate. And yeah, any further disruptions will rightly cause some massive hiccups to the markets.
And what are you, following up on oil and OPEC there, Stephen, last week, though, we did see the latest OPEC meeting did calm other members like Russia who are pushing for supply increases. How does this factor, this attack factor into, I guess, whether they will increase supply going forward?
Well, you know, obviously, we're going to have to do something because, you know, right now, economic recovery is really hinges on everything working together. Oil prices, in my view, are a complete outlier, which this doesn't jive well with certain huge, colossal importers of oil in Asia. And if you're looking to continue this the economic recovery, lower oil prices would be much better than higher oil prices, given that the consumption engines in our neck of the woods really depend on oil. So, yeah, there'll probably be something to be said, and we're just waiting to see how the fallout happens here. Unfortunately, shale is just completely unresponsive. Typically, shale would make up for this, but there's just no responsiveness from shale. So the inelasticity of shale production to responses of higher prices, really what's worrying the markets. And that's why oil continues to shoot higher.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Stephen. That was Stephen Innes, Chief Global Market Strategist over at Axie, giving us some input into how a major news flow is going to be affecting the markets this week. And we talked about the fact that the US Senate has finally passed Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that happened on Saturday. And Stephen's of the opinion that this will be viewed positively, at least in the initial time. So this measure, which is known as the American Rescue Plan Act, is now going to head back to the House, where a vote will be held on Tuesday.
Yeah, so he's also rather concerned, or rather the market is concerned that this huge relief package may drive up inflation. But I guess, you know, how fast inflation will grow, it really depends on how fast the supply chain, the global supply chain will normalize, and how fast will jobs pick up. And also one thing, though, as more people move to online shopping, where it is actually cheaper to buy stuff online, maybe inflation worries could be overblown.
Yeah, if I take a look here, CNBC is reporting that stock futures have jumped after the Senate passed the COVID-19 relief bill. It looks like future contracts tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped about 0.7%. The S&P 500 up, and the Nasdaq 100, the S&P 500 was up 0.5%, the futures that is, and the Nasdaq 100 up 0.6%. I have a feeling this will have some green effect on markets opening later at 9 and 9:30 a.m.
So some highlights of this legislation were $46 billion to expand federal, state and local testing in the U.S. for COVID-19 and to enhance contact tracing capabilities as well. $14 billion for vaccine distribution, direct payments of $1,400 for a single taxpayer or $2,800 for a married couple. And this, you know, did The voting definitely did fall along party lines here. So it passed without a single Republican vote in support of it. So we'll have to see what happens when it goes to the House as well.
But that said, it was 50-49. It didn't go to a tiebreaker, as is the expectation for most things that go to the Senate across party lines. It was missed because Senator Dan Sullivan missed the vote due to a family funeral. So if he had gone and voted along party lines, we would have seen Kamala Harris break the tie.
Yeah, so this is something that we will be watching very closely to see the repercussions thereof. But right now we're about to head into some messages. And then after that, we're going to be taking a look at what exactly is driving food prices higher. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.